ready to flip around pages today, because that's what's going to happen. This is not a exposition of a book or text, but it's topical. But I want to continue with where I started last week. So we were talking last week about as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Today, we are going to be thinking about the new mind and the new mind of the believer. So it should be interesting. I don't know if we're going to see King Nebuchadnezzar in heaven one day. Maybe we will. Maybe his turnaround represents pleasing God. I'm sure it did in one sense. But I wanted to just, I've been memorizing Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. And if you guys know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon, and he was extremely successful, extremely proud of his accomplishments. And then the Lord turned his pride into great humility. And so he says, let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. And it's just an amazing story of God's humiliation of a mighty, great leader, which God can do for sure. So that was him. But then the part that I've memorized is the part that I find quite amazing about Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, verse 34, where we read, but at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. It's like he's remembering what he knows about God the Most High, maybe through Daniel, maybe through some of the other exiles. But all of a sudden, he said, I raised my eyes toward heaven and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. What a great statement of changing the mind. And then, of course, we know that things really turned around for Nebuchadnezzar. So, to me, it was just interesting. That's a verse that I've been memorizing every day. And there it is. So, I want to just talk about the mind. The mind is part of the image of God. When God created Adam, he created him with a mind so that he could name the animals, so that he could name his wife, so that he could respond to God, have fellowship with God, because God has a mind. And that's part of the image of God that was, made in Adam. He also gave him a new heart with which he could love God. He gave him a new will with which he could obey God. But today, I just want to talk about the new mind. And so, last week, if you were here, I talked about a few things. One of them was that, number one, the mind of the natural man is damaged. Sorry to say that, but if a person is not in Christ, they have not experienced the new birth of John chapter 3, the mind has been affected, impacted by the fall due to Adam's sin. Adam thought some things and translated his thinking into disobedience to God, and the result was pretty startling. And I listed these last week. But if you read through the catalog of descriptions of the the old mind, the mind of the natural man who is not a believer, you'll find words like darkened, evil, distorting worship, at war with God. There is an incapacity to receive God's truth, empty or vain, carnal, conceited, defiled, blinded. I mean, the list is pretty dark, isn't it? But it shouldn't be any great shock to us to learn that a person who does not know Christ has a mind like that. Doesn't mean they can't do some things that are decent and good, but the mind, when it comes toward God, our Godward relationship with God, there's a blockage there, a blindness. There is all those things. But here's the good news, and I think this is really important to know. When you trust Christ as Savior and you experience what John, in the book of John, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again, the new birth, the regeneration by the Holy Spirit from on high, the Bible says that you now have, as a believer, a new, and here's what it's not a flip the switch and now you are just totally equipped, but you have a new capacity. And I like the word capacity because it indicates that it's the beginning of a process that God wants us to be involved in. He doesn't fix the old natural mind. Sorry to say. It's not like you go to a garage sale and you pick up an old chair and it's kind of falling apart and the paint's getting chipped off of it and so you don't take it back to your garage and you glue the joints or have to do and sand it down and refinish it, and now you have this old chair that has been made new. That's not what God does. God doesn't rework the old nature. God imparts a new mind to the believer. That's in one of the verses that you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which does not specifically address the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's a way that Paul described the new birth. You were not a believer, you were not in Christ, and then you trusted in the finished work of Christ. You put your faith, your trust in him. And so you are now, according to the New Testament, in Christ, okay? And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is not sanded and painted over, but a new creation of God. And that's what happens in the new birth. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. So, and I want you to just, while we're in Corinthians, I want you to see, and you've probably heard many sermons about this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he was talking about the natural man, the old man, the way we are by nature. The unsaved, the unregenerated man, the old guy. And this indicates that he does not have the capacity. He cannot, with his old man, is incapable. And you might not believe this. The Bible says he is incapable of receiving the natural, the divine revelation of God. He can't. He can't. It's like you can have, satellite, or you can have Wi-Fi waves coming in, but if you don't have a router, if you don't have the ability to capture those waves and translate them into pictures or into voice, you can't receive them. And the Bible seems to say that the natural man cannot. To me, it's freeing in one sense. Like, we can't expect someone who is not saved, who has never come to the foot of the cross and experienced the regeneration by the Spirit of God, we can't expect them to be anything else, because they can't. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 19, or 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God prepared for those who love him. For to us, to the believer, Paul says, to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know. The believer has received the Spirit of God. The one who doesn't have the Spirit of God living in them doesn't belong to God. And it says, that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak. Then it says in verse 14, but the natural man, Paul seemed to distinguish the natural, unregenerate, unsaved, pagan, whatever word you want to use, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness. They seem like foolishness. They just seem like ridiculous foolishness to him. Why? And he cannot understand them. He cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. So he doesn't have the equipment. He doesn't have the router. He doesn't have the satellite dish. He doesn't have the ability to receive the revelation of God, because they are understood by the Spirit. So, number one, the mind of the natural man is damaged. Number two, God has given true believers this new capacity. You have a new capacity. This is all going to become really clear in a couple of minutes, okay? So God has given true believers a new capacity. But this new capacity, if you don't understand what's going on in your mind and what's going on in my mind, it creates a new conflict. That's the problem that we face, because God doesn't get rid of the old man, the old mind, the old way that I used to think. If you look at the scriptures carefully, the old man is still present within us, the old way of thinking. And then we have this new capacity of our mind. One of the best illustrations I can think of is my father. My father grew up in a Christian home, and he was taught not to cuss. And then one day he began to be a builder, and he was in the building trade for many, many years. And guess what he heard every day from the plumbers and the, you know, the roofers and the concrete workers and everybody else he came in contact with? Well, he heard a lot of bad language. And he was always afraid that at the end of his life, when he kind of started developing dementia, that someday he'd be sitting in a nursing home, kind of, you know, and that the old, what he had heard all of his life, the old mind would dominate. And he would sit there saying things that for all of his life he would never say out loud. And so, you know, I think you can say that he battled his whole life for the new man, the new nature that God had implanted in him to be strong and to not submit to the dominion of the old nature. That makes sense to you? Yeah, it's a pretty clear picture to me. So, but there's always this conflict. There's always a conflict. It's not so much, it's within the believer, within the Christian, because we have the old, we have the things that we used to think, the old thoughts, the old thought patterns. But God has given us this new capacity. He's given us a new mind. And so with the new mind, with this new capacity, the new mind, the believer now has the capacity to respond to the revelation of God. I can respond. I can submit to the revelation. I can receive the revelation of God. I can, by the Spirit, I can understand the revelation of God. But here's the words that I found this week. But the carnal mind, the natural mind, here's the problem that we have. The carnal mind is, there is constant, ceaseless, unceasing, unrelenting conflict or opposition or warfare with the mind of the believer. It's always there. It never goes away. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 to just show you this idea in another passage. Romans 8, 5. For those who are according to the flesh, that's the natural man, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. See that? The mind set on the flesh, the natural, carnal, old mind is hostile to God, God's enemy. But it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. So there's this conflict that's going on. And then if you want to this afternoon, read Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, Paul talked about this great conflict within him. The things that I want to do, I think that would be his new mind, are the very things that I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I do. That's Romans chapter 7 gives that conflict. So number one, the mind of the natural man is damaged. Number two, God gives true believers this new capacity, the new mind. Number three, the new mind or the new capacity creates conflict for the believer. There's conflict that is there. And number four, but here's what God has. God has this goal for you and me. He has this desire. He has this end game that he wants to have for all of us. So God has a new goal for believers. And that is what the Bible calls the renewed mind. Okay? God wants my mind and needs to renew my mind. And again, it's really important. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Ephesians 4, 2. One says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk, to live in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for each other, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I misread. Chapter 4, verse 23. That's where I was going. Okay. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul was saying, this is God's goal, that our mind would be renewed, that our mind would be changed. Romans 12 and 2, then I'm going to play a little video here to make it all really clear. Romans chapter 12, hopefully some of you are memorizing these two. I could ask you to stand up and recite it if anybody wants to. So Paul wrote, therefore, I urge you, brethren, believers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds have to be renewed. Our thinking needs to be renewed. Sometimes we think bad. Sometimes we have really wrong thinking about ourselves, about our worth before God. We can just have thinking that's sinful, that's based on lies. Satan is the father of lies, and we can believe lies about ourselves, and then it results in the activities of our life. But then it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. So what the Bible seems to be saying is that our mind can be based, we can be thinking things that are not true. And the lies that we believe result in certain behaviors. But if we change our mind from here to the truth and base our behaviors on the truth, then we get to prove what the will of God is. We get to prove or live out what the will of God is for our lives. So I'm going to play a video clip. Just hold on one second. I want to let you know what it is. Bruce Wilkinson was trained under Howard Hendricks, and he's a great teacher, and he's kind of getting to the end of his journey as a minister teacher too. But he wrote back in the day, he wrote a book called The Seven Laws of the Learner. learner. And so I would consider him a really good teacher, not the only teacher in the world, but a very good teacher. And so he wrote the seven laws of the learner. And so he was wanting people who teach and preach, and maybe as grandparents try to influence their grandchildren or their own children, as we try and impart truth to those around us, what he's about to say is, this is what happens. This is a picture of what I've been trying to say this morning, okay? So if you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, if you are a grandparent or a parent, or you're wanting to influence other people, teaching a Bible study, whatever, here's, I think, a really good picture of the process that goes on. So go ahead, Mark.
For him, it is understanding that God wants you to ask. Remember what Moses said? If you're on the Lord's side, get over here, and if you're not, stay over there. Whoa! Talk about putting a line down. Remember when God forced me in a terrible way to cross this barrier of not being afraid?
I don't think that's it, Mark.
Because all of us are afraid until we become unafraid.
I think that's the wrong one. I think there are several sessions, and I had the one up on the desktop that we needed. I don't know if you closed it down and then started it up again. Did you? Okay. It should start at about 14 minutes. That's not the one. Well, why don't we stand up for a second and stretch, and while they get it figured out, then I'll have you sit back down again, because I think it's important to see. So go ahead and take 1 minute or so, and it's the one before that one. Nope, the other way. That one. Nope, that one.
This doesn't have a need.
Okay, you can have a seat again.
This part here doesn't have a need to be taught before this part. It's not about this book. It's about the people and their needs. And when you think about application, as we talked to you a lot in the last section of this course, I have to know what your needs are, and then I have to go back to this book and find out, where does this book meet the needs that you have so I can set you free of where you're stuck so you can take another step closer to becoming like Christ? This is the answer book. And when you think about this, it's like we are stuck and there is a stronghold here in our lives, a castle. And this castle is called in the Bible a stronghold. And in the stronghold, a lie that I think is true, hold on to me. It's what I believe. And when I believe something, this stronghold causes me to behave this way. If I believe this, I will do this. If I believe this, I'll also behave here. And if I believe this, I'll behave here. How does change take place? Change doesn't take place by changing your behavior. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So But everything's got to go on the basis of your mind, of changing how you think. And because we have strongholds in our mind that we believe a lie to be true, we think it's true even though it's not, like the person we talked about earlier who commits adultery and has unfaithful relationships, that person has a stronghold in their head that it's best for me to be sexually immoral because that's going to make me the happiest in the long term, and why shouldn't I do it? That lie makes that person lie to their wife and cheat on their wife and sneak around and get involved in pornography and everything else. That's a stronghold. If the person's going to be free to become more like Christ, I have to bring truth into that circumstance. And I have to attack the thing that they need to renew their mind on. Because what happens, this stronghold has protections around it. We call these rationalizations. They're rational ideas that defend the lie. And they are emotional outbursts. These emotional outbursts, when you come with the truth here to set the person free from the lie, they'll start arguing with you to protect the lie. Or they'll attack you personally. Who do you think you are to talk to me about this? And they're trying to make you run away. What you want to do is to tear down that stronghold and take the bricks out of this and build over here a fortress of truth. That's the opposite of the lie. And when you believe this, you'll look back over at the behaviors you used to do, and you'll say to yourself, I can't believe I did that. How could I possibly have acted that way? Because when you have a new truth that you believe, then it has a whole new set of behaviors here. All these behaviors are sin. And when we're locked into the sins, it's because we're controlled by a lie that's a stronghold in us that rises up against the knowledge of God. And we have to pull this down and build a truth that has new godly behavior here. This is how transformation takes place, which means you have to take the truth and shine it right where the lie is. If you just teach truth where the person has no needs, what's going to happen to the person? Nothing. That's what happens in church and in classes all over the world. That is, a pastor or a teacher comes up and preaches the Bible, and they've talked about it for 50 minutes, and you learn things that you either already knew or are areas that you're not wrestling with. And therefore, there's no change until the truth is focused on the person's need so that that stronghold comes down and the person transitions and becomes a person more like Christ. That's how change occurs, which means something has to happen here. When a person changes their mind from here to here, we call this repentance. Do you know what repentance actually means in the Bible? It comes from a Greek word, metanoia. It has two halves to it. Noia in Greek means to think, and meta means after. Repentance means I used to think this, but after the truth came, I realized that's not true anymore. This is true. And I had repentance. I changed my mind to believe this truth. When repentance occurs, the lie no longer controls you, the truth controls you, and now the behaviors that used to be ruling your life is now gone because you never behave in a way that doesn't make sense to you. Therefore, every time Paul met somebody, he's doing one of two things. He's teaching them or warning them? Where is he teaching them? Right where their need is. What's he warning them about? Right where their disobedience is. So he's constantly taking this concept that says, where is there confusion in the person's mind? Where are they stuck? How can I set them free? What is the truth I need to do? That's application. I want you to explain that to the person next to you.
Okay.
What is repentance?
Thank you. All right. So we're going to roar to the end this morning, and I hope you have a piece of paper, because I'm going to give you 5 responsibilities of the believer in the process of renewing your mind. Okay? And so you're going to write down 5 things with a few scriptures along the way. Okay? I'll try and do this really quickly, and then we'll be done. But I want to review again. 1, the mind of the natural man is what? Damaged. 2, God gives true believers a new capacity. 3, this new capacity creates a new conflict. Thank you. And God has a new goal for the believer, which is a renewed mind. And then I would say 5, that we believers have 5 responsibilities. Maybe there's more, but I'm going to give you 5. These are responsibilities that we have in the process of renewing our mind. 1, the first responsibility we have is to occupy your mind with Christ. Occupy your mind with Christ. Philippians chapter 4, you can write that down. I'll just read it, and then you can look at it more slowly at home. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, you'll remember this verse, I'm sure, but it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That's our responsibility, to let our mind dwell on the things in that list. I have a quick list of those. Not with me, though. So things that are true. Satan is a liar, so we want to think about the things that are true. We have to think about the things, occupy our minds with things that are true. We need to think on things that are honest and just, things that are worthy of respect and right, things that are pure, morally pure, things that are lovely, beautiful, and attractive, and of good report, worth talking about. So we need to, 1, occupy our minds with Christ and with the truth. That's why I think God calls us to read our Bible every day, every day, every day. 2, feed on the Bible for sustenance. Feed on the Bible for sustenance. I think that's kind of a no-brainer, but 1 Peter 2:2, Like a newborn baby, I should have Jonathan come up here and tell us what it's like to have a newborn baby in the room, in the house, and when that newborn baby is hungry, what they're like. Some of us can't remember what that's like. It's been too long ago. But like newborn babies, long for, crave the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow. Babies are born to grow. They are meant to grow. You know, we're wanting them to say their first word, have their first tooth take their first step, and then we're trying to get them to shut up and not run away from us, you know. But that's, it's not normal for them to not progress beyond where they are. And so in the spiritual life, the believer has a responsibility to feed on the Bible for sustenance. Jeremiah, I think BSF is going to be in Jeremiah, are you? Jeremiah 15. 35. Huh? Jeremiah 15, 16. The prophet Jeremiah said, your words, speaking of the Lord, your words were found. And I, what? I ate them. I don't know if he physically ate them, but he ate them. It's like they weren't just over there tasting. But it's like, no, your words were found and I ate them. Which is what we're talking about, feeding on the Bible for sustenance. He said, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Oh, I love that. Is the word of God, do you feed on it? Do you feast on it? Do you let the word of God become the joy of your heart? That's your responsibility. Number three, protect your mind. Very interesting. Through prayer and supplication, when we pray, when we make our supplications to God, he promises to guard our mind, to protect our mind, because we are people of prayer. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. I talked to a man yesterday who spends a lot of time around prisoners in the jail and in one of the prisons out of Aberdeen and others. And he said, from his perspective, the number one problem with people that he runs into all the time is the problem of anxiety. We are an anxious people. We live in a world of anxiety. And so the scriptures say you can protect your mind through prayer and supplication. By being a woman or man of prayer, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And guess what the result is? The peace of God. Our world needs the peace of God, the peace that comes from God. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your mind. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the responsibility we have is to be a people of prayer, a people who say, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. Lord, this is bigger than me. I am anxious. And then we come to God with our prayers and we come to God with our supplications. And then the word of God promises the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard, put a garrison around your mind. The great thing. Number four, I'll just give you the list again. So number one, occupy your mind with Christ. Number two, feed on the Bible for sustenance. Number three, protect your mind, your new mind, through prayer and supplication. Number four, know or remember that your mind has been set free from the dominion of the old mind. You are not on the losing side. You are not going to lose. Your mind has actually been set free from the dominion, the rulership of the old mind. I find that very encouraging. We don't have to stay down in the dumps. 2 Timothy 1:7. Almost done. Bear with me. 2 Timothy. Oh. Second Timothy chapter 1:7. For God has not given us what? A spirit of timidity. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. I think some versions say a sound mind. So God has given us, and we just need to, 4, know or remember that your new mind has been set free from the dominion. So my dad, sitting in his wheelchair, could say, well, I know I'm tempted to say things that I've heard my whole life in the business trade, but my new mind is stronger. My new mind is the boss. I don't have to yield. And I think that's a very promising thing. And then the last thing is, 5, use your new mind to bring every thought into subjection. So there's another couple of verses that I'm memorizing. I'm almost done here. But it is, use your new mind to bring every thought into subjection. So someone said, when it comes to lustful thinking, you don't have, the birds may fly over your head. I think Martin Luther said that. But you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. So you might have lustful thoughts that go through your mind or across your mind, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. And so that, it kind of has to do with that. And I want you to turn as we close to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I've memorized this verse. I hate to try and do it in front of you, but I can do it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, for the destruction of fortresses. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I think that was close. So 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. I think that's what Bruce was talking about, the fortress of the lie, the fortress of the truth. And so he had the idea of tearing down the false, the fortress based on the lie, the strongholds, tearing them down and rebuilding them. And that's exactly what I think Paul is talking about here. So the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations. We are destroying lies. We are destroying the things that are distorted. We are distorting the way that we think that's not right. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are dealing with every thought, negative thought, immoral, impure thoughts. We are You know, we just need to learn how to stop thinking certain things and replace them with something else. I think I told you last week that we were camping at Nia Bay, and there were lots of kids, and there was this family next door, and the kids were just, their mouths were bad. They were, you know, just bad stuff was coming out of their mouth. And so my daughter was afraid that her kids would pick up on that, especially Logan, bless his heart, and he'd just be fixated on a really bad word. And so I remember having a conversation, not with Logan so much, but with Evan, and I went through Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word. I was replacing the lie with the truth, and I said, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. And that's exactly kind of what we're doing in life. In real life, we are replacing lies with truth. We are teaching truth in the place of the lies and the strongholds of the enemy. So that's our responsibility. Let me read them one time real quick. Number one, occupy your mind with Christ. Number two, feed on the Bible for sustenance. Number three, protect your mind with prayer and supplication. Number four, know or remember that your new mind has been set free from the dominion of the old mind. And number five, use your new mind to bring every thought into subjection to Christ. How's that? Is that okay? It's good stuff. It's really where the nuts and bolts, where we live our lives every day. And I think that's really good. So I have something that I want you to, if you want one, you can have one. I've got a list, and I've had this for a long time. It's, Neil Anderson in California. He had a ministry there called, I can't remember now. Well, the Bondage Breaker was one of them, but he just said, here's a whole list of truth that you can grab a hold of and read, because sometimes we can think I'm worthless, I don't have any gifts, God doesn't really love me. There are so many things that can be strongholds in our mind that affect our whole life, and here's a bunch of them. Here are the things that, and he has published this in his book called The Bondage Breaker, but he says, here's some things that are true about you. He says, I am his child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am one spirit with him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. Does that do something for you? That is the new fortress of truth. And sometimes we just need to have the list. We need to meditate on these things. I am a member of God's body. I am a saint. I am what the Bible calls a holy one. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I mean, I could go on because it's like 3 pages long. Great, great truth. You could go through this and just highlight those in your Bible and remember and remember and remember what's true about you, and it could be life transforming. So if you want one, they're free today, and I've got about 20 of them up here. You have to walk up and get it, and remember to come up here and get it, and you can have a list, and if I don't have enough, we'll print some more, okay? All right. Let's sing a song together and we'll be closed, okay?